We'll go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And that is just should be fine. My wife wrote this up this morning, so I should be okay with this. If it's messed up, we know who to blame. Amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at three verses, chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. If you would stand with me for the word, reading the word of God, for the honor and the word of God here. Let's stand, chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. And then, because we need God, amen? Amen. Amen. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your being a great God and a loving God. And Father, you don't need us and you don't need me, Father. But God, I thank you for using us and letting us be a part of your ministry, being a part of you, Lord, to be able to tell others about you, Father. But God, I thank you for being a part of our life. Now, Father, I ask you, Lord, this morning to fill me with your power and your presence. Lord, I help me to speak clearly, Lord, and I pray that you challenge the people's hearts, Father. Help us to take that step of faith and get closer to you, Lord God, and whatever it may be in our life, the struggles and trials, Lord God. But hide me behind the cross, and I pray the Holy Spirit challenge everyone's heart this morning. Father, if someone this morning is lost and not sure of their salvation, Lord, I pray you challenge them, convict them, show them the need of salvation. I pray for your children, Lord, that the faith is struggling in their life, Lord. I pray they take that step of faith and trust in you and depend upon you and have confidence in your word, Lord. They live for you. But God, we need you more than anything else. We struggle, it's raining, it seems nothing right, but God, you are always right. And every time you're here with us, Lord, everything comes right. So we love you, Father. Thank you for Grace Baptist Church. Now, Father, I do ask one request as we here pray, and I ask you for being with Miss Audrey, Lord. Touch her body, heal her, Father, and bring her back home. And Lord, and be with Brother Ray as he taking care of his wife. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chapter of the Hall of Fame of Faith. And if you look at the word faith, I'm talking about this morning about the wealth of faith. The word faith is used about 247 times in Scripture. Yet it's one of the most neglected doctrine in the Bible. Truth is, faith is one of the things in our own life that we struggle in every day in our life. I'm teaching Sunday school about faith, and the truth is, I struggle with faith, you struggle with faith. If we have faith, as Jesus said, we could move mountains. We could do great, mighty things. I mean, this building truly been built a long time ago if we had faith. The problem is, we don't have faith. We struggle with our faith. It's just one of the things we neglect. One thing, we believe that God can do things. Can God do it? We believe it. But the thing is, will God do it? That's another thing. The principle of real test in spiritual life is that we believe that God can because God is God, but because God can do anything. However, we believe that God will is a faith of practice. God will. I can say, can God win Zachary? Amen. Can God build this building? Amen. Can God do this? Amen. But will God use you? That's another. It's a practical part of our life we need to use in our life. Doubt is of the mind. Unbelief is of the will. But faith is of the heart. Someone said, if your faith fizzles out before the finish, in all probability, it is the flaw from the first. Faith does not always make everything easy, but it makes all things possible. Because, you know, every trial, things we go through, trial in life, and you read the book of Hebrews, it wasn't easy for all of them. But it was all possible. And when we look at the wealth of faith, we see it involves, number one, is the principle of our faith. Because in verse 1 it says, now faith. Now faith is, you know, what it says in Hebrews, it's a hall of fame of faith or the chapter of faith. But it's description of faith. The verse generally describes, people say it's the first verse describes the definition, but it's not. It's not a definition, but describes the effects of our faith. A good definition of faith is this. True biblical faith is confidence, obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Let me say that again. The true biblical faith is confidence of God's word, that you obey God's word in spite of circumstance you're in or the circumstances. Amen. you find yourself in. But here we see it says, now faith in verse 1 is more of a description of the effects. For faith accepts what God declares and puts it to the proof. God declares it, I'm going to do it. God says you can win the world, I'm going to do it. God says you give, I'll give. He will do it. If I trust in Jesus Christ, He'll save me. I put my faith in Him. That's acting on God and showing the proof. An illustration of an old-time preacher who was invited to Sunday dinner on the home of one of his members, unavoidably detained. After the service, he was delayed for late arriving. In the meantime, the children became hungry. The mother allowed them to go ahead and eat. The chicken and dumplings disappeared quickly. Later, as the preacher began to eat, he found just a few bones floating around the bowl of the gravy. He said, well, it's the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. It describes the effects of our faith. Listen, the principle of our life is to live by faith. The just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. It's a principle. Four times you see it in the Word of God. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and you see it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. Luther got it from Paul. Paul got it from Habakkuk. Habakkuk got it from God. But the thing is, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance really means like assurance or a firm foundation. It's kind of like a title deed. If I have a piece of land and I have the real estate, own that real estate, it's a title deed. It's the evidence of ownership. Our faith is the title deed of everlasting life. It's the evidence of our eternal state in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us, while we look not at things which are seen, but things are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Our faith is just not a philosophy of life. And yet we act like it is. Faith is more than just a philosophy. A faith is something we put assurance in. We hold on to. My faith is evidence of my eternal state in heaven. My faith is that I got a piece of property in glory that He's coming back for me. It's something I hold on to. It's a principle of a life that I live. It's a description of what we hold, our faith. And that just it's a description, the principle of faith is a description. It's the discernment of our faith. Now, faith is, as it says, a substance thing hoped for, is evidence of things not seen. The Christian should live the entire life by faith. He is saved by faith. But it's not faith and works. It is faith that does work, but it's not faith and works. Do you remember the jailer? He was in when Paul and Silas were in prison. He said, What should I be to save? How can I get saved? He said, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must put your faith, the evidence, what you've seen, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing is, to discern our faith is it puts to test, and many times we go through trials. But it's got to be put to test. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I think about Abraham. Abraham was a man that we know he was a friend of God because he trusted God. He walked with God. How could a man want to willing to sacrifice his son because God told him to? Yet many of us won't go soul winning or pray or give or whatever because we don't believe. The truth is that we struggle in our faith. There's a wealth of faith that we have. It's just not a little bit of thing. I got a big problem because I got a little God. But I look at struggles and I see it's a little problem because I got a big God because I expect God to take care of me. I remember the day in 1999 on May 9th, I had a big problem. It was so big, so heavy, I couldn't bear it because I wasn't sure I was going to heaven. See, my problem was so big, I couldn't resolve it. But I saw a big God that could take care of it. Listen, our trials, Abraham went through that trial, but he started it back here by believing God. He got to that point where he was willing to sacrifice something because he believed God will do what he said he's going to do. Use Isaac. And that's, listen folks, that's evidence of he know what he believed and he acted upon that. This problem is we struggle in our faith. Faith is a doctrine that we need to learn and grow and build upon. Listen, we have an almighty God. What makes our church any different than any other churches in this community? Because our church really believes in a really living God. Our church has a living God. Our church that we know that we can get God to move in our life, it could change, it can make a drunkard sober. It can make a man that's doped up clean. It can make a whoremonger be faithful. It can take a group of people like us and believe a God that can do great and mighty things. Now listen, faith is discernment knowing we go through trials. But it says, you go through that trial of fire, it says you'll be found praise and honor to the Baptist church. No, it says glory and appearing of Jesus Christ. He lets us go through that trial to make us more like Him. To be more like Him. Listen, people don't need me. They don't need you. They need Jesus Christ. Listen, this church is not just another church. This church bases everything on this. This is the Word of God. Every decision we make should be based on this. This is what our foundation, how we live. It's a wealth of faith. Listen, faith knows how to wait on God when it comes out for victory. Wait on God through trials and tribulation, how it's going to work out. I remember a trial that my wife and went through, and it was hurtful, and it was, I didn't know what to do, and how are we going to resolve it, because it was out beyond me. I can't fix it. I couldn't do nothing. And I did, what could I do? But through that trial, God worked it. God made me more pure. He hurt me to help you. God is a good God. He's a loving God. But listen, that trial waits on God. We faith always is be vindicated. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. Is that true or not? Amen? I mean, is it true? If God works all things, then why we struggle in our faith? We got to start discerning that God will do what He will do. It's amazing. I was reading through Joshua this week, and I've seen how God started out with this plan. So I'm going to use you, Joshua, and I'm going to carry you to land, and then Moses, my servant, is dead. Listen, Shreeder's not here no more. God has placed me in the place of Shreeder. Shreeder's going to be used up here, and one day I'm not going to be here, but God always is God. God is always in charge, and He's leading. And He takes the men of God, and He says, now I want you to take my people. And He tears them into a land, and they overcome. And at the very end of chapter 23, He says, He did everything He said He's going to do. Not one word dropped. Give, and it shall be. Go in all the world and preach the. Why? So souls may be saved. Take that old drunkard and get him sober. That mama get a new husband. That boy can get a new daddy. It changes lives. Listen, faith does not limit the power of God. It believes beyond the reasonable. And what never allows the fact that stands in the way. It doesn't like, listen, we can't build this church. We can't do it. It's all me. I mean, brother, how many churches in this community? You've been here for a while. There are more than 10, ain't it? Why? How can we? We only got probably 150. How can we do it? I mean, look at the preacher. He's never built a great church. He's never done that. And how are we going to do it? How are we going to build a building? We got 20,000. We need 12,500. We're not rich. If y'all rich, y'all didn't tell me, amen. But I'm telling you, we can't do it in ourselves. But we got a God. Without reason. The problem is, when I got saved, before I got saved, I didn't think, how could God save me? How could God change my life? I know the things I've done and the thoughts I've thought. I don't deserve heaven. But my God could pay that debt. Oh, Brother Mike works in a place that's wicked and vile, but God could change that wicked and vile heart. The problem is we don't believe. There's a wealth of faith. Listen, Bible says, Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. You hear me? Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can do more. Sarah is going to go to India. She's going to teach piano to these boys and girls. But she could change lives. She needs a little help. Listen, she could reach a little boy. It could be like a D.L. Moody. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God could use you in passing out tracts? That somebody can get saved? Do you believe that you come to the altar and pray for someone's lost and get their lives changed? Do you believe? God is able to do this abundantly. Above that you think. Or what reason, what you can reason with. I just thought about Brother Baggett. He was telling me his testimony how he was going to get saved. And he was reasoning in his mind, how can God do it? His problem is that he didn't believe God. But when he surrendered and he said that God can do it, his life changed. Just like each one of us. Faith is simply taking God at His word and asking no questions. Asking no questions. Confidence in what He's going to do and being obedient and act upon it. The problem is we struggle with our mind. We need to come to Him. It says, come to me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, He says. But you've got to come. Lord, how am I going to overcome that? How am I going to overcome these bills? How am I going to overcome these struggles in my life? But you've got to come. I think of the verse, it was at Revelation 20 to 22, it was verse 17. It says that some of the priests, it says, bride, come, say, come. Let him that thirst, come. Let him that heareth, come. But you got to come. Whosoever will, let him come. Oh, my friend, it's we have the acceptance of God's word. We got to act upon God's word. This is the principle of faith is this. We take upon God's word and act upon it. But then in verse 3, it tells us the power of faith. The power of faith. Verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The power of faith is not so much a question, do we believe, is it whom do we believe? It's not the case of sincerity of belief, but the truth is, what is believed? And Matthew 17, 20 says this, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. It doesn't take a huge amount of faith to have the great power of God. It takes about a little faith. But the problem is, if I've got a problem and I'm moving it because it's my unbelief, it's a mustard seed of faith. It will remove mountains of unbelief. We support missions and faith promise. But we actually need more. We support missionaries at $25 a month. When I was lost in the heathen, I would say you went and buy a pack of cigarettes. My friend, $25, it really isn't much anymore. 1970-something was something. But we need increase. But I can't do it myself. I ain't asking Miss Pam to do it by herself. But collectively, as a whole, we can do it with God, can we not? We, as Grace Baptist Church, say, God, this is what you want us to do. We can act upon that. What do you have me to do? And trust God. Give and it shall be. Is it true or not? I mean, it's just, this is the power of God moves mountains. Listen, faith moves doubts. Faith moves fears. It helps us to trust the Word of God. Power of faith takes three sides. It affects three sides of us. The intellect, the will, and the emotion. Listen, it takes a man when he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. There's a point in my life, in your life, where you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. He's the only one who can take my sins. I accept that Christ, that Messiah, that Savior. There's a will that says, you know what? He died for me. There's a man, I don't know who wrote it, wish I could find the writing. If you ever find it, let me know. But he said this. He came to a conclusion that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the sin debt. He shed that holy, righteous blood. And he said he resurrected. He said he's paid it all. What must I do but accept that great Savior? The intellect and that will surrendered. Listen, the motion comes in the outward expression of the heart with the inward response to God's Word. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness. it started from the heart. And it takes this right here, my friend. I'm thirsty. My mouth is dry. But I know this is poison. And I close my lips.
Amen.
Because my heart said close. But you're thirsty. And your mouth is dry. You need that salvation. And you see it's fresh. And your mouth opens. And you take. That's the heart cries out. That's what a heart man says, Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, I'm undone. You paid it all. I'm surrendering. I need you. Save me. That's what the jailer told Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? But you must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That little faith moved the mountain of doubt and fear. Remember, he was in jail. He was beaten. And he washed his sores. He washed his stripes. Couldn't he have been beaten? Then taking care of the prisoners? Listen, he believed and it changed his life. The heart responds to God's love. The will submits to the demand of God. For the Bible says the consequence of sin, for all the wages of sin is death. The mind understands the desire of God and it cries out and repents. Now we see that the principle of faith and the power of faith, we see the practice of faith. So the things which are seen are not made with things do appear. The things we see are not made with things that do appear. We learn the principle of faith. We see the power of faith, but you must practice it. Faith is believes beyond reason. Faith believes in total confidence in the Word of God. As I'm saved, bought, or born of Christ, I must practice this faith. It must not say, I believe, and that's it. It's like when James said, a man comes to you, is naked and not hungry. He said, well, peace, be filled, and have a good day. See you later. What profit does it have? You have Almighty God. You're bought with a price. You're dwelling in the Spirit of God. And we have God Almighty to answer prayers. We must practice it. The way to find life is to lose it. If I want more life, I must die to self. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses life shall, for my sake, shall find it.
Amen.
If I want life, I need to die to self and have more Christ. The way to live is to die. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, and it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If I want life and have a life, I need to die to self.
Amen.
Let God live. Listen, if I want to be first, I got to be last.
Amen.
The way to win is to lose. Philippians 3:8 says, yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count all things dung, that I may win Christ. Life is to lose it. To live is to die. Gain is to lose. First to last. Wise to be a fool. Listen, we need a faith practice. Listen, faith sings in prison. Faith sings in prison. I think of Paul and Silas when they were beaten in that city. But Paul didn't come looking for the best hotels, did he? He looked for the best jail. My friend, he went to that place. When he left, he had one convert on one arm and a jail door on the other. Listen, he went and preached and he believed in God, but he lived it. They beat him, but he lived it. They were chained, he lived it. And listen, it says he didn't sing songs, but he sang praises unto God. He was beaten in a damp place, but he practiced it. Charles Kingsley said this, I do not want merely a possession of faith. I want faith to possess me. I want God in my life more and more. I don't know about you. I'm bought by the blood. I'm saved by the blood. And my God is coming back. And all I'm trying to tell you is this. Our faith is hindered because of unbelief. We got to grab this book and say, I believe it. Say, preacher, I believe it. But if you don't read it, then you don't believe it. If you don't give, you don't believe it. If you don't act upon it, you don't believe it. If you don't pray, you don't believe it. Because you would do it if you realize the power available to you. God took me, changed my life, hurt me to be a blessing to you. He's taken you, worked in your life and hurt you and go through trials to make you better for somebody else in this world. To show more Christ in you. To be a testimony for a great God. We can build this building. We can increase our faith promise. Listen, we have visitors. Come on now, listen to me. We've had visitors every day, every service, every Sunday morning service. Not because of me. Not because of the work we've really done. Because of God and our desires for God to work in us. God will build that church, this church, if we let God build. But we got to be busy and act upon it. Our souls need to be saved. Lives need to be changed. But listen, if we don't practice it, and it's become worthless. Here's a little poem you could say. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. It takes faith to live and faith to die. Faith that asks not why, faith to learn and faith to teach, faith to practice and what we preach, faith to work and faith to pray, faith to trust and faith to obey. We need to act upon it, practice it. There's a wealth. What could God do through you if you had just a mustard seed of faith? Amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.